it reminds you of this, really, our basketball games usually. But it was amazing the other night how right at the last, Michael Moorbach took a shot, and there wasn't, I mean, there was very little time left, about down to 2 seconds, and he got the rebound, and he tried to step back to the three-point line, and he shot the shot. We were down by 3 points, could have tied the game, and he made the shot. But his foot was on the line. But you know what was amazing? That was the loudest I have ever heard our fans, because they thought that it was a three-pointer, and they were wanting to argue that it's, but I mean, we could tell his foot was on the line. I mean, I went, yes, we're tied, and the refs said, no, that was the best that I could.
But I was hoping, you know, maybe somehow there was a miracle take place. But anyway, it really got loud. And I, you know, when I think about this shout, I think about, is that what it takes? But anyway, no, and the walls came tumbling down. And no, I'm not going to sing the song, because if I do, that's all you'll think about, and you'll be sitting there going, Josh, well, anyway, but, and what a miracle. What a great, great battle plan. And the people on the inside, the lost, the heathen, you know, they were, you could just, in my mind, I imagine them up on the walls, and they're watching, they're saying, look what those nuts are doing now. Those people are crazy. What are they doing? Don't they understand that the economy is bad right now? What are they doing running buses? I mean, those people are nuts. What is wrong with those people? I mean, don't they understand that things are bad right now? Fuel is expensive. What are they doing? What are they doing? I mean, they're still out knocking on doors. Don't they know that that doesn't work anymore? What is it? What are those people doing? Don't they understand that, hey, in order to get a big crowd, you gotta have a show the Super Bowl in your church? These people are crazy. What is wrong with these people? And in my mind, I see so many similarities. But I want to talk to you, and I did entitle the message, The Walls Came Tumbling Down. But I entitled it, not so you're thinking about that song. But if you do, that's fine. But because we have some walls that need to come down. Everybody has some walls that need to come down. The enemy is, they built up some walls that are against us, some walls that are keeping us from moving forward. There are some walls in our lives that just really need to come tumbling down. And you know what? God's method has never changed. It's still the same. You know what it boils down to? God has to do it. What did the men, well, they yelled. Oh, that knocks the walls down. Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that'll take it down, won't it? Well, they played those trumpets. Yeah, that'll do it every time. No. God did it. And God's got to do it in your life too. And God has to do it in my life. You have a lost loved one. They are without Christ. And I'm going to tell you, you know what? That's a wall. You know, they've built up some walls against you. They've built up some walls against what you say. But I'm going to tell you, God can knock down those walls, and they can get saved. You got some financial problems, and they're like the walls of Jericho. I mean, they stand between you and moving forward. And you know what? God can knock those walls down. You know, and the method is the same way. It's all about what can God do. Now, either He can do it or He can't do it, and you better decide what it is. Because I'm telling you, the people did what God said to do, and then God knocked the walls down, and they were able to move forward. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want you to know this. God always gets the victory. There's never a time God's not going to get the victory. He always gets the victory. Christ's birth, it was going to happen. You know, I say this all the time in reference to prophecy. God doesn't predict it'll happen. God makes it happen. And it always happens. God just says it's going to happen, and then He makes sure that it does happen. And though Satan did not want Christ, the Messiah, to come, He came. Though he had men trying to destroy Christ, He came. He fulfilled His purpose. He died on the cross, but He rose again, and Satan couldn't stop that. And you know what? The rapture will take place, and the devil can't stop that. And Armageddon will take place, and the devil will lose, and the Antichrist will lose. And, you know, God always gets the victory. And you know what? God's people can also get the victory in their lives. You have to understand, as long as we do things God's way, then we always get the victory as well. I mean, come on. Honestly, you look at battle plans in the Bible, and battle plans for God's people are usually very, very strange. They're usually very opposite of the way the world would do things. And here's a battle plan that to me, every time I read it, I kind of chuckle because I think, those people had to think, what in the... Can you imagine the newspaper, the Jericho Daily Gazette? I mean, can you imagine the newspaper, you know what it said? Nuts surround the city. You know, religious dummies are marching around yesterday at the same time as the day before. The independent, fundamental, radical nut, Bible-believing Baptists, they marched around our city again. They seem to be having a good time. What are they thinking? Amen. Ah, but you know what? As long as you do things God's way, you always get the victory. And we know that all things work together for good, even though it may look bad. And certainly, so what, Joshua, what is your goal? Well, our goal is that the walls are going to fall down. And what are you doing about it? Well, we're marching around it. Really? Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And for 6 days, we're going to do this. And I could just hear CNN interviewing him. You know, and I could see the correspondents kind of looking at each other like, you know, smirking like they do whenever they talk to anyone who actually believes the truth. You know, I could just imagine. And you believe what's going to happen, Joshua? And he says, well, we believe that when we do it exactly the way God says, walls are going to come down. And I could just see him say, did you catch that, Brit? You know. Whatever name, Flavius, but we have to go back to those days. But you know what? God, it's always victory for God's people. It's always a victory. And here they did exactly what God said, and they saw the victory. And how sad! I just have 2 points this morning, and I hope you'll listen carefully. Number one, we see the foolishness of the lost. Lost people cannot possibly understand what we're doing. Okay, realize that, folks. They don't understand our buses. They don't understand our church services. They don't understand a Bible study on Wednesday night. They certainly would not. They don't understand our master club kids in church. They don't understand preaching. They don't understand the altar call. They don't understand baptism. They will not and couldn't possibly understand the Lord's Supper tonight. They do not understand what we're doing. And the Bible says that it's because they're foolish. The foolishness of the lost. Let me show you some things about the lost here who are represented by Jericho and by the city and by these big walls. And the first thing we see is they're under the curse of God. In verse 17 of chapter 6, the Bible says this. It says, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. It's under a curse. And we know, of course, that Jericho was under the sentence of death 40 years before that. Look, if you will, at Exodus 23 and verse 27. Exodus 23 and verse 27. The Bible says, I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee, and I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And God had promised his people, hey, this land is going to be your land. I will make it your land. And anyone who stands in the way of my will being done, they will be accursed. And so everyone there, as far as Jericho was concerned, they were standing in the way of God's will being done. And God said, hey, they're going to be under a curse. It was a powerful city, but under the curse of God, power means nothing. God who is all powerful, God who is God, God who is the creator of all things, doesn't matter how big it is. Doesn't matter how big the walls are. It doesn't matter how important Jericho was. Hey, once it became under the curse of God Almighty, it was nothing. Let me show you something else. Romans 5 and verse 12. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. It says, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. For that all have sinned. And all men are under a curse from God because of their sin. Just as Jericho was under the curse, just as Jericho with its tall walls and its strength and its power as a city was under the curse of God, so is unsaved man. You're here today without Christ. You are under the curse of God. Doesn't matter how much money you have. Doesn't matter how religious you are. Doesn't matter how powerful you are. You understand the most powerful unsaved person on this earth is under the curse of God. It does not matter how much importance they have, how many people will follow them and how many people will answer to them and do what they say to do. It doesn't matter when you're under the curse of God. Doesn't matter how big you are. You will fall. Just as Goliath stood against the armies of Israel, all it took was one man to stand up and say, "Hey, is there not a cause? And my God shall destroy you." And Goliath went down. Doesn't matter how big. Doesn't matter how tough. Doesn't matter how much money. Doesn't matter how much political clout. If a person is lost, they are under the curse of God. God is going to deal with them. Romans 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Thank God, as we learned in our Sunday school class today, that we're not under that wrath of God once you trust Christ as Savior. You'll never have to face the wrath of God as a Christian, as a blood-bought believer. You'll never, ever know that wrath of God. But if you're lost, you'll know it. You know what? The wrath of God, it makes the walls of Jericho look like a toothpick house. The wrath of God is the wrath of God that will take place during the 7-year tribulation that we read about, and we even shudder to think of the terrible tribulation that will be on this earth. But that's the wrath of God. And that's under the curse of God. It is a curse because man has sinned, and God must judge sin. But for the Christian, for the saved person, our sins were judged when Jesus Christ died on the cross, and He paid for our sins for us. And God judged sin in Jesus Christ when He took my sin on Him. Thank God for that. And I'm no longer under that curse. Boy, you know, lost people are doing well now, but they're under a curse. Those walls look big. Those walls look solid. Those walls had provided protection year after year after year when enemies would come and attack Jericho. Those walls were solid walls. The people went in, they stood by, they probably laughed, they ate, they drank, they were merry. Hey, everything looks good. Our walls will hold, but I got news for you. If you're lost, your walls will not hold. Under the curse of God Almighty, you must be born again. Foolish. They were under the curse of God. Foolish. According to verse 1, Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. They were shut up against God and God's people. You know, every time I read this, Brother Letson, I always think of knocking on somebody's door and they come to the door and you say, "Hi, I'm from Berean Baptist Church," and they slam the door in your face. Straightly shut up against God and against His people. It's like at work when you talk to someone, you say, "Hey, I'd like to invite you to my church." "I don't go to church. Leave me alone. Don't ever talk to me about it again." Maybe they say that in school. Maybe they say that your relatives and others that you know. But listen to me. You can be shut up against God and God's people. But the Bible says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And you're not going to prosper. You may not like hearing about your sin. And you may, hey, I know, I remember when I was lost, I'd go to church because I had other motives in my going to church. I'll tell you what, every time that preacher preached, and thank God for the right Bible preaching that is against sin. And thank God for preaching where the Holy Spirit of God works on the heart of a lost person. Thank God. And I can remember so clearly being, you just kind of wanting to get out of there. "Hey, I don't want to hear about this stuff." And just like Jericho, "Hey, we'll just shut the doors. Nobody in, nobody out." But you can only run so long. You can only run so long. You know what's so amazing is they were shut up against that which was could have helped them. They were shut up against the people who had the truth. They were shut up against the people who were about to take the land. They were shut up against the people whose God is the Lord. And you know, you look at our world today, and there are more and more things and laws being passed against our preaching. Don't you find it amazing that they would even talk about our preaching? But they don't talk about our preaching that way. They just call it, well, you can't be hateful. Isn't it amazing that our preaching is really all about love? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Well, what did He die for? Well, He died to save sinners. Sinners! You can't talk about sinners! That's hate. That's how it's working, folks. That's the way it's going. Sinners? Who's a sinner? Well, all have sinned. Who are you talking about? Everybody. We're all sinners. Yeah, yeah. So, you're being hateful. Isn't it amazing? The world is trying to shut up, to be shut up against God's people and God's preaching. Brother Caleb, he goes into the public schools, and boy, it's like walking on eggshells. I mean, it really is. He's watched like a hawk. And he goes in and he talks to the young people, and well, you can help them, but you can't give them the Bible. Yeah, now you try to figure that one out. I remember when I was pastoring in Bern, Indiana, and there were all kinds of unique things happening, kids committing suicide, different things. And so they decided to make it a law that every curriculum had to teach people what is right and what is wrong. And I'll never forget going to the meeting. It was so funny because I was just a young preacher then. And I remember going to the meeting and hearing all these people say, who's going to say what's right and who's going to say what's wrong? And somebody said, well, the Bible says, what are they doing? They're shutting their gates against the Word of God. The very thing that could have helped them. We'll learn in a few minutes, and you already know this, about Rahab the harlot. Her and her family, they survived when the walls fell down. By the way, what an amazing thing to think about. Isn't that amazing to think about? Because usually a house, a home on in a city like Jericho, the homes were on the walls. That's exciting. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Shut up against God's people. Straightly shut up against the Word of God. That's the way our world is headed. Satan does not want the Word of God to get out. And by the way, folks, we can protest all we want, but I'll be honest with you, so many of us are hypocrites in our protestation. Because the only reason the Word of God is shut up from the lost is because you and I don't take it to them. And that, my friend, if you're going to protest hate crime and all that and hate speech and all those guys, if you're going to protest that, hey, listen to me, it's a hypocrisy if you don't tell somebody about Jesus. I'll be honest with you. The part of our message that is so offensive is we're all sinners. Do not tell people they're sinners. That's hateful. That's love. That's like the doctor saying to you, you have cancer, but I think we can help you. You have a disease, but I think we can help you. It's like the eye doctor telling me one day, you have glaucoma, but we can help you. You know, I could have said, that's hateful, telling me I have glaucoma. Who do you think you are telling me such bad news? Like, you're trying to hurt me. You're attacking me. You have no right to tell me that. But what he did was he got me on some drops that has kept my vision so that I could see. Amen? And you know, doctors, we really don't like them. But the truth of the matter is, the only reason we don't like them is we don't like what they tell us. I'll never forget the doctor looked at me and said, you're fat. Amen. I didn't like that. Well, that's hate. Hate. You shouldn't. You know, there's a crime against that. I'm going to sue you, buddy. You know what, though? He was telling the truth. You don't have to shake your head. Why don't you say yes about other things? It's amazing. Well, the blood of Jesus. You know, the rapture of the church. Pastor's fat. Anyway. You know, it is so sad that the lost have shut the door to the gospel. And it's becoming more and more and more like the walls of Jericho. But it's foolish. They're under the curse of God. They're shut up against God's people, and they will be quickly brought down. Notice verse 20. The Bible says the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. And the wall fell down flat. Refuge failed. Those walls they had counted on, those walls they had trusted in, they fell down flat. By the way, what good is refuge if it fails in a trial? What good is it? It's like a pup tent in a tornado. Oh no, tornado's coming! Quick, get in the tent! Yeah. It's like a rotted ship in a storm. It's like a bicycle in a blizzard. It's not going to do you any good. And you know, the walls were the works of their own hands, and there they fell flat. Isaiah 28:17, judgment also will I lay to the line and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. You know, you can hide so long. If you're here today without Christ, I'm telling you, you're foolish. The Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And my friend, you need to believe and you need to know there is a God. There is a God who destroyed the walls of Jericho, the foolishness of the lost. Number two, we see the faith of God's people, and that's really what I wanted to talk to you about, the faith of God's people. Look, if you will, at Hebrews 11 and verse 30. Keep your place there in Joshua. And I mentioned last week, somebody was all excited. I mentioned that we were going to go through the book of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to memorize it. Go ahead and start. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith. How did the walls fall down? By faith. The walls of Jericho fell down. You see, God, you know, God's way seems foolish to man. But you cannot argue the results. You cannot argue the results. And again, those walls came tumbling down because God's people had faith. Now you know, we sit here this morning and there are prayer requests all over this room. There are needs all over this room. There are people that are hurting. There are all kinds of sorrows. There are all kinds of needs. There are financial needs. There are health needs. There are relationship issues. And all over this room and all over our church, there are all kinds of needs like that. And ultimately, let's be honest, folks, we need God to do something. You need God to do something in your life. You need God to work a miracle. The walls falling down, the walls of Jericho, listen to me, that's a miracle. That cannot happen other than God knocking them down. In my mind, I see God just pushing those walls over. So simple to God. I've had God knock some walls down in my life. I've seen God do some miraculous things in my life. And it may seem foolish to a lot of people. And by the way, it did. Many people have mocked the methodology of God. In my life, in churches I've pastored, but you can't argue the result. You can't argue the result. I mean, honestly, you look around this room, there are people all over this room who God saved from a life that was a mess, and you can't argue the result. I mean, all over this room, there are marriages that have been brought together, brought back together by God. You can't argue the results. There are miraculous stories that are given on Wednesday nights and Sundays at our men's prayer time of God answering prayer, and you certainly can't argue the results. And I'm talking about walls coming down that were keeping us from moving forward and doing what God wanted us to do, and you can't argue the results. Faith and preaching and serving, and you can't argue the results. And a bus ministry, and you certainly can't argue the results. I mean, you think about all of our young people that have come and ridden on a bus, and they're in church today, and their lives are being changed. And without God in their life's a mess. And you think of folks who were won to Christ because somebody knocked on their door, or others who were won to Christ because they came to church and they heard the gospel. I'm just saying, God knocked down some walls. And it may seem foolish, but you can't argue the results. It may seem like it's just not normal, but you certainly can't argue the results. First thing we see here, under the faith of God's people, is the compassing of the city. And it says, verse 3, "Ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days." And there we see the measure of faith, because they had to go all the way around the city. The walls seemed large, it seemed impossible, but they had to surround them with faith. God, we want you to know we believe you. We want you to know, God, that we trust you. And they're walking around those walls. Can you imagine that? It just amazes me. Again, they would have to get within, they would have to get far enough away that somebody could shoot them with an arrow, and yet they would walk around they walked all the way around that city. I remember one Sunday I preached about the Battle of Jericho, and we were in a storefront building in Bern, Indiana, and there was a building we were wanting to buy that was out on Highway 27, and it was a nice building. It was a very expensive building, but nothing, no business had ever survived there. And I remember preaching this on a Sunday morning, and I made reference to it on Sunday night, and a fellow was sitting right down here, and he says, just right in the middle, he said, "Preacher, we ought to go surround that building, walk around it." I tried to ignore him. Amen? Isn't that amazing? You can preach about it, but then, you know, you have some nut try to really put it to practice. And he says, he raised his hand, and he said, "Hey," he said, "wait a minute." He said, how about if we go march around that building?" It was like 40 degrees, and it was a little colder. It seemed like there was some snow on the ground, so I ignored him again. Well, by now, he's got a couple other people, you know, these Baptists that get excited about truth. And now I got several folks that say, "Hey, why wouldn't we do that?" And I said, "Well, you know how it is." I said, "Well, I don't see any reason why we can't." And so, sure enough, we load up cars after church, and I'm going to guess about 75 to 100 people went out there to that building. You have to understand, the building's owned by somebody else. It was a business at that time, but it was on a Sunday, so it wasn't open. But I'm thinking the police we're all going to get arrested. We're going to go to jail, and oh ye of little faith, there we were. Then some nut. I'll never forget this. It's you know, in the 30s. 30 some degrees. The part of the parking lot was paved and part of it was gravel. And then some nut says, "Well, bless God, we ought to take off our shoes because it's holy ground." I was trying to argue, but before I had a chance to argue and say, "That's not in the scripture," we all had our shoes off. And there we go, singing and praising God. And we marched around that. Now, we didn't want the walls to fall down. We wanted God to make it possible so we could buy it. Do you know the next day, God opened the door so we could buy that building? You say, "Well, you were a lot of help." Well, I preached the truth. I just didn't always believe it. But I'll tell you what, I did believe it. I guess I was kind of like you are with your life. You know, we amen it, We say we believe it, but sometimes those walls seem so big. It seems so impossible. And we need to surround the whole thing with our faith. God, I believe you. I'll show you I believe you. Here I am. I'll never forget walking around. That is something I will never forget in my life. We sang Victory in Jesus. People, seriously, Highway 27, from that time on, people have craned their necks. They've gotten whiplash just looking back to see what was going on. And there we were, marching around that building late on a Sunday night. No, we're not trying to buy anything here, so you don't have to worry about that. Whew. Anyway. When's the last time you just said, God, I, what do you want me to do? See, here's what we do. We get in financial trouble, and we withhold our tithe to try to get us out. That's what we do. You know, that's not a shock to a pastor to find out somebody's withholding their tithe because they're hurting. But what we need to do instead of that is we need to say, God, I trust you. Here's not only my tithe, but here's my faith promise. Here it is. This last missions conference, God laid a number on my heart for faith promise, and I argued with him. And then ultimately, I finally said, you know what? This is so foolish for me to argue with you, God. You're God. And there have been times, I'll be honest, there have been times it's been kind of hard to write that check. It's been a little tough. Just because we're flesh. But he's God. You need to show him, okay, God, I'm going all the way here. I'm going to go all the way around this wall because I expect you to knock it down. I'm going to show you, God, I believe you. They were told to compass the walls, and that's what they did. I think God wanted them to see, you know what? I can handle the whole thing. You don't have to worry about that. Then the second thing I see here is it says, verse 4, 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the seventh day ye shall compass the city 7 times. The priests shall blow with the trumpets. Blowing with the trumpets. And I see a means of faith here. And I see God using weak things. You know, God's not going to be robbed of his glory. And it's amazing all the weak things God uses to do a miracle. I mean, come on. David kills Goliath with a stone. It's an amazing story, David and Goliath. That's why the liberals, you know, well, Goliath, he was old and dying, and, you know, he was weak and he was diseased. And oh, I'm sure the Philistines would put somebody like that out there to represent them and put them into slavery. How foolish. How foolish. By the way, if you're old and weak and you could lift the spear that he carried, I'd hate to see him when he's strong. But I'm just saying this little stone. But it had nothing to do with the stone. It had nothing to do with David. It had everything to do with the God who's able to deliver. Moses held up a rod. I mean, a simple thing like a stick. But the rod didn't part the Red Sea. Who parted the Red Sea? God. It's always little things. God always uses weak things and little things. Look at 1 Corinthians 1 real quick. 1 Corinthians 1. And verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. There's a good verse to sum up surrounding the walls. You know? And the weakness of God is stronger than men. God in his weakest moment is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That no flesh will take credit. No flesh will say, look what I did. I mean, honestly, the people aren't going to go and go into Jericho after the walls fell down and say, look what we did. Because they know. They know. Often we're looking for that big thing to get us through this thing and to knock down the walls. And God's just looking for you to say, God, I trust you. He said, we just needed to have faith as the grain of a mustard seed. You say, well, it didn't happen. And therefore, what was your faith? It must have been less than a grain of a mustard seed. Ye have not because ye ask not. That's what the Scripture says. God is interested in those weak things. I mean, this battle plan is a strange plan, but that's how God is. Come on. Gideon took an army of 32,000 against hundreds of thousands. And God said, Gideon, you have too many. And it whittles down to 300 in Gideon's army. And God says, just right. Now let me tell you your weapons. Oh, this ought to be good. God must have, must be a nuclear bomb or something. God's going to reveal to us some great weapon. Yeah, you're going to put a candle inside a pitcher. And then you're going to have a trumpet. That's how you're going to win the battle. Isn't that awesome? I love it. And no man could say, look what I did. Really, what'd you do? I broke my pitcher. And I blew my trumpet. Isn't that good? Amen. So, you know, here we are, the old veterans after the battle, you know, several years later, they're all gathered around the campfire, and they're all talking. They say, boy, you want to hear what I did in the war? Yeah, really? What'd you do? Well, I broke my pitcher. And I blew my trumpet. Isn't that good? You know what they'd end up saying? They say, you don't want to hear what I did. Let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what God did. I mean, come on, folks. We're all looking for that big weapon to knock down those walls. God says, I just want your faith to be as a grain of a mustard seed. And you have not because you ask not. God wants to use something weak. God wants to, not a tank, not a bomb, not nuclear weapon or something like that. God says, blow the trumpets. I'll knock down the walls. You just do what I say. You say, but I feel so weak. Perfect. Perfect. You're ready. You're ready for God to do something now. Amen. And of course, we see the carrying of the ark. Verse 6, Joshua the son of Nun called the priests and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant. And let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And the ark of the Lord represents, by the way, that's the object of our faith. Jehovah's presence. God's there. God's there. Amen. Those walls, man, they were huge. Children of Israel had absolutely nothing to knock those walls down with. They had no way to get through Jericho. None. Except God. You say, my problem's too big. It's not too big. Not too big for God. Yeah, but you don't understand, preacher. I've been trusting God. Okay, well, understand. Trusting God is trusting God. It's not saying I've been trusting God. It's trusting Him now. It's all the way through. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Wait a minute. You mean if the knife was raised and Job saw the knife of God coming down? Yeah, Job said, I'll trust him then. Why? Because I know that he is going to take care of me. Abraham said, Isaac, you're going to be the sacrifice. And he takes the knife and he's ready to slit the throat of his son Isaac. Because he trusted God. And God provided the sacrifice. I'm just saying, you know what? Faith is going all the way with God. let's say on the sixth day, they compassed the city and said, you know what, I'm tired. I'm tired of doing this. Let's go ahead and do seven this time and blow the trumpets and shout. I promise you this, folks, the walls wouldn't have fell down. I don't care. I don't care if on the seventh day they went around six times, blew the trumpets, and shouted, guess what? Nothing. You understand? That's what our biggest problem is. We're impatient. We don't trust God. We're not willing to wait. And Jehovah's, He either is there or He's not there. We need to have confidence in Him. We need to trust Him. He said, lo, I am with you always. Now, is He or isn't He? Boy, it's easy to say God's with me when we have money in the bank. Job's going good. Economy's looking up. It's easy, isn't it? Let me tell you, bring the ark as you march around those walls. Know that God is there. Bring the ark the first time, the first day, second day, third day, fourth day, fifth day, sixth day. And on that seventh day, every time around as you march, you just look and you know, God's with us. God's with me. And your confidence is in Him. Next thing I see under the faith of God's people is their shouting. I like this. Notice what it says in verse 20. The people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. It came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. The people shouting, to me, that's the expectation of faith. That's why there's so few victories. You know, have you ever thought of praising God before the answer? Or have you ever thought of praising God before the wall fell down? That's what they did. But the truth is, so few are expecting. Today, I wonder, honestly, I wonder, if we were the ones marching around Jericho, how many would shout? Nothing's going to happen. I don't want to look like an idiot. I don't want, good night, preacher, the media's all here, and everybody's looking, and what are they going to say about me if I shout? I mean, a shout. If I have to shout, then they're going to know. I mean, it's one thing to march in a big group and nobody sees me, but to shout, what if they get me on camera and then nothing happens? I'm going to look so foolish. My family's going to think I'm nuts. My coworkers are all going to think I'm crazy. I mean, come on. And that's why you have not. That's why because we don't expect anything. You know, most of us get exactly what we expect. What's that? Nothing. Because we don't expect anything to happen. Come on. How many prayed for somebody lost to come to church today and get saved? Did you? You don't have to raise your hand, but just think, did you? I mean, you spent time. You prayed. How many prayed? You've invited people over and over and over to come. And one Sunday, you know, well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But did you ask God this morning to get them up? Wake them up? See, we get what we expect because we don't expect anything. These people expected the walls to fall down. That's why they shouted. And God knocked the walls down. Hey, you have some answers you need? Some real miracles of God? Do you need God to deal with some walls in your life? Then you better really believe that He will. You better really believe that God's going to knock those walls down. Let me just close with this thought. Because in the midst of the walls tumbling down, Rahab and her family were getting saved. And I think that's amazing. In verse 25, the Bible says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. And in the middle of the walls tumbling down, Rahab and her family were saved. I'll be honest with you, and I believe this with all my heart. One of the reasons that my mom and my dad got saved, and I believe this, was because they saw God working in our lives. They saw some walls tumble down, and they couldn't explain it. They saw God meet needs, and they couldn't explain that away. My mom said to me one time when I was talking to her about getting saved, she said, well, she said, there's one thing I know about the Bible. Jesus had no place to lay his head. You sell all your things and your nice car, and you sell all that to go serve God, and I'll listen then. And I didn't really think about that until we pulled into Mom's house in Florida, and we had every worldly possession in the back of a small U-Haul trailer. And we had sold everything that we had except that on our way to Bible college for me to be a preacher. And she looked at me with a tear in her eye and she said, well, you did it. And it was about 2 or 3 weeks after that my mom got saved. I didn't even really think about that. I certainly didn't do it with that in mind. But when walls tumble down in the Christian's life, the lost notice. They see. And Rahab believed and obeyed, and God honored his word. And she and her family were saved. And it's amazing. In Hebrews 11, let's go there real quick, verse 31. Hebrews 11, 31. Here in what we call the Hall of Faith in the Bible, Hebrews 11. Verse 31, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And there among people with faith, in Hebrews 11, is a woman who was a harlot. Rahab the harlot. So, tell me about all the people in the hall of faith. Well, there's Abraham, and there's Moses, and there's Enoch, and there's Noah, and there's Abraham, and oh yeah, there's Isaac, and well, there's Rahab the harlot. When did she get saved? When the walls came tumbling down. You ever wonder why those people aren't saved? You ever wonder what it is that, you know, what it's going to take? Maybe it's going to take some of your faith. It's the only way the walls come down. That's why every challenge, every trial, every problem, everything that you're praying about, you ought to tell lost people all around you. Well, you know what? We're having this problem, but I'm praying that God's... You say, preacher, they'll think I'm... You don't want to blow that trumpet, do you? You don't want to shout that shout. They're watching you. The lost all around, they're watching us. And I'm telling you, one of the great salvation stories in the Bible is Rahab the harlot and her family and how God saved them when the walls came tumbling down. I've got some walls in my life, and I believe my God is big enough to take care of it. So what are you going to do? I'm going to walk around the city. I'm going to do whatever He says to do. I'm going to trust Him, and I'm going to keep asking Him over and over and over and over and over and over, and however many times it takes, I'm just going to keep asking Him to knock down the walls. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I know there's folks in this room, you're begging God for a miracle. There's financial needs. There's health issues. There's so many things. This morning I wonder, though, first of all, if there's anyone who's not saved. You'd say, preacher, I'm like the people of Jericho. I'm not saved. Please pray for me. Anyone, raise your hand. Just slip it up. Pray for me. I'm not saved. I do not know I'm going to heaven. Anyone like that? Pray for me. How many would say, preacher, I'm a Christian, and there's some things in my life God's speaking to my heart about. Please pray for me. Raise your hand all over. Just slip it up. Father, thank you for knocking down those walls in Jericho. And thank you for showing us that it's not our works. It never is. But it's us trusting you to do it. And God, you know some things we pray about every day. Things folks are burdened about. Things they go to sleep with tears. God, I pray you'll knock down those walls. Please. And help us to keep praying. keep trusting. Keep expecting you to work a miracle in every situation. We ask in Jesus' name.